This episode of IRM Today is brought to you by Secure Future Tech Solutions, your local IT partner providing information technology solutions. To consult with an IT expert today, call 401-921-2607 or visit them online at securefuturetech.com.
Now on AM 790, it's time for IRM Today, the property management show with host Jason Martins. Join Jason for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your host, Jason Martins.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into IRM Today, the property management show here on AM 790. I'm your host, Jason Martins. We are your live local radio show here on AM 790 every Tuesday. Now, there are a lot of these fun little syndicated programs, Jack, on this radio station, but we're not really one of them.
They don't even compare.
No. We are fun, though. We can be fun.
Absolutely.
And we can be mildly entertaining, but we are not syndicated. That's right. We are live in studio every Tuesday talking to you about all things property management. And in case you're wondering, you're tuning in for the first time, and you heard me say that. What was the name of the show again? IRM Today. IRM, what the heck is that, Jack? Is that English? What is that?
Institute of Real Estate Management, the most professional group in the country for managing real estate.
Wow, and locally, we're the Greater Rhode Island chapter number 88.
88.
That's right. Now, people wondering what the heck IRM does and what the Institute of Real Estate Management does. Well, we're the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. So whether you manage an elderly housing building, right? Section 202. Maybe you have a single family home.
Whatever.
You know what's popular, Jack, going around the country, really exploding, is single family home rentals.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a booming market,
it's a huge market across the country.
I mean, people are developing. There are developers who are developing communities strictly that are single family homes that are meant to be rented.
Absolutely.
It's amazing what's going on.
It's a growing industry that people don't. It's kind of going under the radar,
mm-hmm.
and people don't really realize it until you find the company that's been doing it by the thousands.
Right.
All right. Especially in states like Arizona, Florida.
Yeah.
Those states, I think, are the biggest ones that are going on in the country. So it's a growing business, and I think that they're going to be looking for a lot of professional management people, and
that's
the Institute of Real Estate Management will be ready to supply those people.
That's right. Now, that's the thing about the Institute of Real Estate Management is people who are looking for a career in property management, maybe they're already in it, maybe they're looking for something different, and they want to have some kind of training, some kind of education, or even a designation so that you can be recognized
as a
professional property manager. Well, a designation means that you have some type of credential stating that you are trained in property management. Now, the Institute of Real Estate Management offers two of them. We have the Accredited Residential Manager. And do you know what that acronym
ARM?
Is? That's right.
ARM.
That's right. That's okay. The Residential Manager is. How about Jack with that, Jack? You can do it backwards, too.
I'm learning.
And then, Jack, there's the Distinguished CPM designation.
Certified Property Manager. That's like a degree from Harvard.
Now, someone walks into your place, says, hey, I'm a CPM. I'm looking for work. Right away, you know, hey, this guy or this gal.
Been trained.
Properly. Professional. Is backed by a code of ethics, which is important, right?
That gets them in the door,
and now they got a chance.
Then they got a chance. If
right?
they didn't have that designation, then generally speaking,
you might have a chance, you might have to start down the bottom of the ladder. Depends.
It depends on the individual and how they approach it.
Sure.
Right from the interview.
Sure. Really.
And we're willing to train people, too.
Yeah,
It's not something that we're not willing to do.
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
That's right. Now, getting these CPM designations, there are certainly companies that will even train people to do it. However, if someone wants to go out on their own, or even for companies who are paying for the training of their employees, we have a great program. It's called a scholarship program.
Absolutely, yes.
And now you think, well, boy, there's got to be a cost to get the CPM designation or the ARM. Well, sure there is. Of course, there's a cost, like most things. However, our scholarship program is there to help fray those costs, and it's a simple process. It's easy application, and to go ahead and fill that out and send that in and try and get that, these.
That's a great segue, Jason.
It sure is.
How is the scholarship program funded?
Wow, Jack, this is a great question here. Great segue. Now, there's two fundraisers that we have every year, and they're terrific. Now, in the fall, We do a wine tasting event, and this is terrific, right? It's what it sounds like. It's a wine tasting event.
I love a wine tasting
right.
event.
Wow.
Wine tasting
right?
event is...
You go out there, you get socializing with other other property managers and vendors alike, people who have same interest as you do yeah. in property management, mm-hmm. and you get to do a little wine tasting, and all the money goes to benefit our scholarship fund. This is terrific. Now...
Every dime.
Now, every dime. Now, what's the other big one? Listen to this. Next... Tuesday, June 7th, we're having our...
Next Tuesday.
That's right, a week from today. We're having... What are we doing? That's right, our annual golf tournament, Jack. This is big... Oh!
Annual golf tournament.
It's in the hole. You hear that? You hear my shot right there? I just teed off.
I just...
We're broadcasting from...
Oh, my
there
God.
There we go. Oh, jeez. I can't hit them all straight every time, Jack.
What? Where is it being held?
It's at the Pawtucket Country Club.
Pawtucket, one of the finest clubs in the country.
It's a terrific course. I've played there many times. It is a terrific course. I'm glad we do it there every year because the course is meticulously maintained. The food is terrific. The atmosphere, it's easy to get to, the whole nine. And so we have a golf tournament, and every year it's our annual golf tournament. And this year is no different. And there are two beneficiaries of this tournament, this charity golf tournament put on by IROM. Number one is the East Bay Coalition for the Homeless. Now, they're a terrific organization over there in the East Bay helping what they don't give a hand out. What they say is they give a hand up to help people who are struggling, families, get back on their feet and take care of some of the challenges they're having. And so we benefit the East Bay Coalition for the Homeless. Terrific organization.
Two organizations.
And the second one, of course, is our chapter scholarship fund.
And by the way, Jason, just for your information,
yes,
checking
sir.
The weather next Tuesday.
Yes.
It's going to be sunny.
Yeah.
And 72, which is great weather for golf.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, see,
it could not be any better.
Well, you know why? It's because I called ahead. I called into Mark Searles over there at Channel 10, you know,
okay.
Gene Valicenti's friend.
Oh, yeah,
you know Gene.
I know Gene.
I called in ahead, and I called Mark Searles. I said, hey, Mark, can you do me a favor? Can you put an order in for a 72-degree and sunny day on Tuesday, June 7th? So he obliged, I guess.
Very nice
that's
guy.
What the four, he's a nice guy. I mean, he did that for us.
Oh, wow.
Now, normally, which is why I told him on Tuesdays. Now, today's another beautiful day outside, Jack.
Another beautiful day?
Well,
this is uncanny.
I'll tell you, I had to pull some strings to get Tuesdays to be so nice. Because, you know, I know some people who are in the weather business. And I said, listen, can you try to make every Tuesday? And so they pulled some strings for me.
Well, it's for a good cause, too.
Yeah, I mean, well, it is for a good cause. Now, our golf tournament is benefiting these terrific causes. Now, for those of you listening, there is still time to get into our golf tournament. We're still accepting some foursomes here.
Foursome.
And how do you do that? Well, certainly you can go to our website, which is iromri.org. Or you can also call Karen. She's our association executive.
Ms. Cuddle.
That's right. Now, here's her phone number. Give Karen Cuddle a call, and she will take a reservation right now for your foursome. And her phone number is 401-479-7734. That's our chapter golf tournament that's happening next Tuesday, June 7th at the Pawtucket Country Club. Still time to get your foursome in for two great causes. We're supporting the East Bay Coalition for the Homeless and our chapter scholarship fund, which helps people who are pursuing a career in property management get those two crucial designations so they can stand out as professionals in the property management industry. So, again, Karen's phone number. Give her a call right here, right now. 401-479-7734. That's 401-479-7734. And register your foursome for our charity golf tournament happening next Tuesday, June 7th at the Pawtucket Country Club. Get your foursome in today. Tell them you heard it on the radio show. And give me a pat on the back when you get there, and I'll give you a sip of my diet soda. That's not a bad deal.
Make sure you don't drink it all.
That's right, because not everybody gets a sip of my diet soda, Jack.
Absolutely.
So
not.
I'm very generous with my diet soda when it comes to these kinds of things.
But.
All right. All right, you're listening to the IROM Today, the Property Management Show here on AM 790. We'll be right back right after this. All right, 418 here on IROM Today, the Property Management Show here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. Yeah, we're trying to get our guest here on the line. We'll get him on. We'll keep reaching out to him. We have a very special guest today. Well, it's always every time we have a guest, it's special. And but that's okay. These things happen. But my guest in studio, I don't know why I call him my guest. I should call him my co-host, Jack, because you're on like every other week with me. I mean,
yeah,
you're a co-host
so.
Of the
yeah.
program.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the other one who brings these players in here. I mean, we get people like Rhode Island Housing Executive Director Barbara Fields in.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
when we get Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee in studio, these are all been guests
John
in the
Mark
program.
John
Mark Antonio from the Rhode Island Builders Association. I mean, these are big-time names, Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're the guy who pulls all these strings and makes it happen here. So
I don't know about that.
Really, I should call you our co-host here.
Co-host. Well,
That's not bad.
That's the pay is great too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's. I mean, the price is right. Anyways.
Yeah, the price is right. Well, I like that show too. The price is right. Absolutely. I mean.
So Jack, what's going on in the world of property management here while we try to get our special guest here on the line?
Well, we was hoping to get Representative Scacci, and was waiting for him to call in. But in the meantime, some of the stuff, some of the items that he was going to talk about would be. Roadworks Rhode Island, which is putting people to work.
Yeah.
And if people are going to work, then they're renting houses. They're renting apartments.
Oh, boy.
Right? They're buying buying items that keep the economy rolling.
Oh,
so
boy, Jack.
I think that's extremely important. I mean, from the standpoint of what we're doing in the legislature,
yes.
I think, and we had Vice President Biden here
reporting Jack.
On how this system is going to work. And I just hope and pray.
Mm-hmm.
That this system works out and it isn't another issue where we have something going on that the general population don't like. I think, I don't know whether it's appropriate to say or indicate that we hope that this works out based on what has been vetted.
Who hopes this works out, Jack?
I think the population hopes it works out because it's their money. It's your tax dollars. It's your tax dollars at work, whether you like it or not. It's your tax dollars that are going into this thing.
Jack, as many years as I've known you, right? Yep. I think this is the only time and the only subject that we completely disagree on.
Absolutely. It really is. And it's always good to disagree.
I think this is a complete disaster.
It is good to disagree.
It is good to disagree.
All right. But
if everybody agrees on everything, then, you know, how do you know if you're ever doing the right thing, right?
Let me tell you, that's the worst thing in the world. You could have people disagree.
Well, you know, the latest thing, too, that bothers me about this whole deal is the news that... and I forget who it was, but there was a report that just came out. Oh, geez, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the person that came out with this information. But I guess to the money that they're spending to build the gantries and then repay Wall Street people the $500 million, whatever it is, that we have to repay. Because what's happening is that we're getting a $600 million loan up front and in turn from Wall Street. And in turn, we're going to pay back $500 million in fees and interest to the lenders, and how we're going to do that is we're putting up these toll gantries that are allegedly supposed to only toll trucks, but we all know that that's never going to happen. And
sooner or later.
And then and so it's costing us $500 million because we're getting this loan up front. Now, there was a report that came out just recently that it would actually be less expensive to just go through general route and just borrow the money normally than to do it this way. And so that's another reason why, okay, so if it would have cost us $300 million or $200 million instead of $500 million, that's another, you know, whatever. It's a substantial amount of money that could have been either saved to taxpayers or used to invest in other areas. I mean, it just,
well,
I haven't seen the positive yet.
There's so many nuances in this particular function, and, and the state is only authorized to borrow so much money anyway. So whether or not you could have, should have, wouldn't have... What is the best plan?
Yeah.
Everybody has their own idea as to how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is right now with this thing and looking at some of the roads conditions that are in, looking at some of the bridges conditions that are in, I drive under them every day. I drive over them every day.
Yeah.
All I recall is when I was going to New York about 15, 18, 20 years ago, and when my daughter was going to school in New York City, and a week before I was going down to visit her, the main bridge on 95 collapsed into the Connecticut River or wherever it collapsed in. Bunch of people went in the water. I personally don't want to be one of those people going in the water.
Right.
And if it takes a gamble, I'm not necessarily a gambler, but from the standpoint of looking at the conditions that we're in and what was the best way to go, I'm sure no matter which way you went, somebody was going to come up and say, there's another way to do it. So I give the governor kudos for doing it. All right, whether or not it comes out right, whether or not it comes out wrong, whether or not she gets reelected again, whether or not the legislators get reelected again, all right, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I reflect on looking at what you got to do, and I look at Lyndon Johnson, what he did back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And when he knew they passed the civil rights legislation,
mm-hmm.
he knew that the Democratic Party had a problem for next millennium.
Right.
He did it anyway. So I think this is one of those deals where it happens. You had to do what you had to do.
But, you know, I mean, that was...
And I'll rest my case.
I know, but that's, you know, that's kind of apples and oranges, though. I mean, that was the right thing to do for humanity. That wasn't, that didn't cost the government any money.
Humanity? You don't value my life at all? Going over those bridges?
No. But here's the argument against that, Jack, is that, all right, so we need money to fix the roads and bridges, but wait a minute. We're already paying all kinds of taxes and all kinds of money to the state and local governments. And one of the main things, goals of the of our government, state, local, federal, is to maintain the roads. So we're already paying money for this. So what are you doing with the money that is meant to pay to repair the roads, repair the bridges? Because we don't want anyone falling into the river. Obviously, no one does. I don't think that's not even part of the argument. But we're already paying money. Now, I'm glad to pay my taxes, obviously, but I want my roads kept up. I want the landscaping looking good. I want to have a nice place to live. So I'm already paying an exorbitant amount of money for that kind of thing. But now you're saying that, well, all the money we're collecting from you is not enough, so now we're going to put tolls in the roads to take even more money from you to fix things that we should have been fixing in the first place.
That is a justifiable argument.
Oh, thank you.
And that is in the past.
No, I mean, what do you mean it's in the past?
That is in the past. Now you got to go forward.
How is it in the past?
They're still going to use that money that you're collecting now to go in the right direction, where the money in the past is the past. You can't reclaim it. It's gone. So what do we collect now vis-a-vis taxes? And it's supposed to be I don't want to call it the famous lockbox.
Yeah.
All right. I think what you got to do is you got to go forward in the future and use the money where it was supposed to be appropriated.
Yeah.
All right. If you look at, you know, we can look at all these things that were done in legislatures past and hopefully correct some of those things. The lottery was supposed to be used for schools.
Right.
Never
education.
Used for schools.
Yeah.
Never
education,
went to schools,
period. Yeah.
That was a selling point for it.
Yeah.
All right. So now, and they're talking. They were talking about using the gas tax, bumping up the gas tax, because it hasn't been increased since 1993 or 94, some ridiculous number. But if you propose the gas tax of 10 cents,
yeah,
you'd have a revolution here. All right. Yeah, you'd agree to it. I might not agree to it. Young man in the booth there,
Mr. Brett.
Yeah, he'd say, "What are you, crazy?" Oh, by the way, it depends on if you're driving across the street or across the state.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's arguments pro and con. So I think we got a couple of the subjects we can talk about. But if you want to keep going on this one.
Honestly, I could talk about this. I just fear. Now, this is one of, you know, there a lot. I say this a lot, is that I hope I'm wrong. Right. Yeah. Because I guess, you know, a lot of times when I'm pessimistic about things, that's what I say. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I'm going to be wrong, and
well,
I'm going
to
look back.
I pray I'm right.
And I might be the one who says, "I told you so," but I hope I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, that this is a huge, major mistake. And you look at when Vice President Biden came down here last week, he was right down the street over here, right on Warren Avenue at the facility over there. Who was in there?
Did you go see him?
Actually, I drove right by, not even realizing that it was happening. Like, what are all these police here? I see people with rifles stepping on top of the building, standing on top of the building. And I forgot that he was coming in there. I drove right by. But who was in there? It was only people who were going to benefit from having the tolls there. That's the only people who were there. The average citizen. I mean, who was there, the average citizens? Or only people who are supporting this kind of nonsense?
I don't know. I didn't have them sign in.
I know. You were there?
No, I didn't.
You weren't there. No,
I was not there, no. Yeah.
Well,
and I was
anyway.
One of the average citizens, so, you know.
Huh? Well,
one of the average
I know, but you support. I mean, yeah, I understand that. But I want to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see how this will benefit. Matter of fact, I think it'll hurt people because it's going to hurt poor people. It's going to hurt people that we house. Think about this, because if the truck drivers raise their fees to the warehouses or whatever, raise their because they, you know, they charge people too. If they raise their cost, then the warehouse is going to raise their cost, then the Stop and Shop, the local Price Right, whatever, they're going to raise their cost to cover all these additional expenses. Who's going to pay for it? It's the people poor people, and it's the people that we rent apartments to. So in the end, it's going to hurt them. So I think this is a terrible, terrible idea, and I hope I'm wrong about it.
Are you done?
I guess so. I guess for now. I'm forcing myself to be done, Jack.
we can argue this point. I got a counter argument for that.
I know.
You got
I
a counter on it. We got.
I know.
But in the end, like you said, it's there.
Yeah.
We got to deal with it. All right. Hopefully, I'm right. All right. I don't wish you any bad luck.
No.
But I think if I'm right, we all win.
Yes, that's true.
All right.
So I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I'm going to be. So, I mean, but I hope I'm wrong.
If I'm right, the average guy in the street wins.
Yeah.
The truck drivers win. I still think you're right with regard to the cars being charged at some point in time. But I think that's the price of doing business, I guess. I don't know.
I already pay taxes to have my roads fixed. Why aren't they using it for that?
I do, too. What did I just say?
Right.
We will be in the future. So
all right, let's, you got a couple more topics. We'll change topics. Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll change topics. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show here on AM 790. We'll be right back right after this.
Now back to IREM Today, the Property Management Show with your host, Jason Martins, on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, 4:33 here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show here on AM 790. I'm your host, Jason Martins. We're live in studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. I know a lot of you get out of work at 4:30, 4 o'clock maybe, jumping in your car, putting on AM 790. You listen to one of those wonderful syndicated programs that are on this radio station. Well, you know, we're wonderful too, but we're not syndicated. That's right. We're live.
We are wonderful. We are great.
We are more than wonderful. We're live in studio.
Right.
Every Tuesday, 4 to 5 p.m. here, and we're IREM, the Property Management Show. IREM Today, the Property Management Show.
IREM Today.
IREM stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management, and we are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of property. So if you have a nice little strip unit plaza in maybe you're in Johnston, or maybe you manage a multifamily building, maybe a Section 202 or a Section 8 property somewhere in the city, and maybe you're in Providence. You're a property manager, and the Institute of Real Estate Management is here to provide you all the tools, training, and tips you need to best run your property. And so I encourage you to go to our website, iremri.org, and get all kinds of information on there. And it's terrific. In the Institute of Real Estate Management, especially if you're in the business or if you're looking to have a career change, maybe look for something different, maybe a career that's different every day that gets you out of the house, gets you looking at property and this and that. You know, the Institute of Real Estate Management is here, and they give you a great opportunity to make a career of property management. A lot of people who get into the property management industry really make it a lifelong thing, because it's terrific. I mean, the people you deal with, the networking, everyone is wonderful. That's one thing I hear, Jack, from when I'm going to all these IREM events or talking to people about joining IREM, is they say, you know what? What a great group of people it is, these meetings. Very professional.
Very
people.
Professional group.
A lot of fun. Great people. Easy to talk to. The vendors are terrific that we deal with, that come to our meetings, this and that. So it's really great.
Great to be involved with.
And you're talking to people who are like-minded, think like you, have the same kind of interests as you do, and really wonderful people to talk to and network with. And property management is a great career. It's a terrific career to pursue. It's different every day. I tell that to people all the time. It's like, if you're tired of just sitting in the cubicle and punching numbers in all day long, and everything is the same, every day is the same, one after another. And
you want to get out on the road.
You want to do something different. Maybe you want to hit the road a little bit, drive around, look at your properties, talk to your tenants, see what they need. You know, all that. It's a great opportunity. It's a great career path, a great career choice. So, you know, maybe you have a two family, and you know, well, I mean, I own this two family, but you know, I never thought of it as a career. Well, guess what? There's opportunities for you out there, and getting one of the designations that the Institute of Real Estate Management offers is a great step in that career. Now, there's the ARM and the CPM designations. The ARM stands for Accredited Residential Manager, and then there's a CPM designation, which stands for Certified Property Manager. Now, Jack, I've talked to people in the past who are property managers. I remember I talked to this one gentleman. He's like, oh, boy, I manage this 30-unit building for a friend of mine, but I got to be honest, I have no idea what the heck I'm doing.
Well, let's give them a couple of examples. I mean, examples like the training in energy management.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's a huge
issue.
That's
the future.
That's the future.
Yeah, and, big time.
Either solar or wind, mm-hmm. or whichever way. And also windows, proper windows to install, proper, and educating your maintenance guys on how to, what they're supposed to do, with how they're supposed to operate their boilers. And we have programs for that.
That's right. We have seminars that we hold.
Seminars for that.
Yep.
I mean, you have
training opportunities, everything.
You have different ways of educating people on fire protection, how mm-hmm. they bring in the fire department, and they educate the tenants and the residents how to evacuate the building.
Yeah.
And it's all training the staff, too.
Yeah.
It's all training the staff, and it's all professional.
Yeah. And here's what's great, too, Jack, is that becoming a member of IREM, you have access to all kinds of documents that are free for you just for being a member of the Institute of Real Estate Management. Are you talking about lease agreements, management agreements, There's so many things. I could go on and on. I mean, there's literally hundreds of documents that are available for you for free by becoming a member of the Institute of Real Estate Management. And, you know, you might think, well, I got to be a CPM. I got to be an ARM. Oh, yeah, sure. You get those free. But you know what? Just by being what we call an associate member. We have an associate membership.
Very important. That's a good segue into becoming an ARM and then becoming a CPM.
Exactly. You may not be ready.
That's the way to do it.
You may not be ready to get one of those designations, Jack, but certainly you become an associate member and you get all the benefits of an IRM membership before you take that next step to get one of those terrific designations.
You see how your peers operate. You see how your peers perform. I mean, so when you see that, then you want to become part of that program.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think about it. If you're thinking about getting into property management and managing properties for a career, and you can make a great career out of it too. I mean, you get a very good salary, you get all the benefits, all that stuff. And you want to think about it, then you want to be associated with an organization that is committed to excellence in property management. You want to be associated with that because you don't want to just be out there alone.
You want to be associated with upgrading your involvement with the residents in your development.
Mm-hmm.
And also how you lease property.
Sure.
Train you how to lease property, how you do public relations and go out to, what do they call that now? What do they call that? PR.
Oh, the PR. Oh, sure. Sure.
And advertising. I mean, that's something that is one of the things that the institution teaches.
Yes.
And
it's the education.
Very, very, very exemplary terms relative to how you bring in people, signing leases, how you talk to people, all right, which is very, very important, I think.
And, and also one of the things people say, oh, I don't know how to do a budget, how to do a pro forma, all those things. Guess what? You get to learn how to do it. We'll teach you how to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you get to be an actual professional property manager. That's one of the benefits. Now, Jack, one of the things as we like to do here on the radio show often is talk about property management headlines. Now, we talked about the Roadworks program there just a little bit, touched on that. But what about this story, Jack, out of multifamilyexecutive.com about the divorce rate driving demand for multifamily properties?
Opportunity knocks.
Right?
I'm not advocating you get a divorce.
No.
So we can rent you a unit, but I mean, if it's there and it's in the marketplace,
yes,
I think we should take advantage of it. And that's another thing that the IRM teaches you, to take advantage of the marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, according to the story, according to the Census Bureau, there are approximately 107 million single people 18 or older living in the United States. Of that 107 million people, 24% are divorced. So that's about 25.7 million individuals. Now, what happens a lot of times? Well, in addition to that, there's approximately 876,000 new divorces every year. That's one divorce every 36 seconds, Jack.
Oh, my God.
So what happens most of the time is sometimes, you know, a couple get divorced, unfortunately, right? We don't want to hear about that too often.
Yeah, that's right.
But what happens is they'll either move in with family members or they'll look for an apartment to rent.
Well, they might move in with family members for a short period of time, and then definitely they're going to be moving on because
– yeah.
With regard to, you know, if somebody is 30, 40, 45, 50 years old, they don't want to live with their elderly parents, maybe. All right. So, I mean, they're going to definitely become a renter somewhere, somehow.
Yeah. And so they're looking for an apartment to rent.
That is kind of an interesting statistic. I never even thought about that. How many did you say? 100?
Yeah, 25 million. What is it? 876,000 new divorces every year.
And 20% of those.
Every year. No, it's 24% of single people in the country are divorced. Now, according to a report from the Minnesota Population Center at the University of Minnesota, the divorce rate in the U.S. has been steadily increasing for the past 30 years. Currently, 50% of all marriages in the country end in divorce, Jack.
Wow.
You believe
mind-boggling statistic.
And these are usually people who are looking for
an apartment.
Apartments to rent at one stage or another. Now, getting divorced, I guess that affects your income, right? Of course, your total household income. It affects your credit score.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so just kind of interesting story there. And a lot of the times when people get divorced, there are kids involved, right?
Oh, yes.
So you get divorced.
The sad part about divorce kids involved, yes.
You get divorced. You take custody of the kids. You need an apartment, so you make sure your apartment building that you're moving into, the property, has kid-friendly amenities, right?
Right.
So you want to make sure that has those kind of things. So a lot of property managers and there are developers out there who, when they're developing the property, have this kind of thing in mind.
Yeah, they cater to them.
That's right. Yep. So it's very interesting. And, you know, they're looking for apartment buildings that are in walkable locations. Concierge service, Jack. I mean, this is becoming big. I mean, concierge services and all the amenities.
Taking care of packages coming into the building.
They're looking for these things now.
It is really, and it's a different way to increase income on a property.
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
Make it even more viable than it might not be.
That's right. Maybe you charge a little bit more rent, but you look at all the amenities that you get with it.
Well, most of the time, I think with that service, I think it's a separate charge. All right.
Could be a separate charge.
Not figured in the rent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you have an animal.
Yeah.
And you pay extra for the animal on a monthly basis. All right. That's one thing that we do. One of the things that we do.
Yeah.
Relative to if somebody has, and it depends on the size of the animal, and we're restricted. So it goes by obviously size, poundage, more than anything else. So it's kind of an interesting way to make even more money.
Right.
Use of the pool.
That's right.
We have a pool at one of our sites.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to use the pool, that's another charge. All right. Which is standard.
Really?
Standard. Oh, yeah.
So it's separate.
Separate.
To get the pool access. Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
I would think that would be included in the rent.
No.
No, it's separate. So make it an option.
Sometimes it is. Don't get me wrong. Well, sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not.
But you know what, though, Jack? That makes sense because you might have someone who moves into your building, likes the area, likes the apartment, but doesn't necessarily use the pool, so now they're paying automatically the rent for the pool, but they don't even use it.
They don't even use it. Right?
And they say, well, can that be an option for me?
And so also air conditioning charges.
Air conditioning charges, sure.
Air conditioning charges. Oh. Prorated based on the KW rating of whatever the air conditioner you're using is. All right. And have a standard set practice and what size of the unit is supposed to be.
Really?
Before they put it into their apartment. Yeah.
All these different amenities. See that? What property? You see what people got to come up with now?
It is absolutely
stunning. It's changing. The market's changing out there, what people are looking for.
The marketplace is changing.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
All right, Jack, what else do you have there for us to talk about? I had a couple of other issues.
We have a couple of other things to talk about, and I think they're very important from a standpoint of affordable housing, specifically. As you mentioned previously, or you might not have mentioned it previously, I'm not sure, in this particular segment, we had Barbara Fields on.
Yes.
And she's the executive director of Rhode Island Housing and Mortgage. And they have proposed a $40 million bond for affordable housing, which is absolutely positively necessary. And we wish, with all due respect, that we could have got a $100 million bond, but that would have afforded probably about 4,000 units if you had a $100 million bond.
Wow.
But with a $40 million bond, you're only going to get maybe 2,000 or 3,000 units, maybe 4,000 units. Oh, by the way,
wow,
that's
a
over
difference.
A period of time.
Yeah.
And as statistics have proven out over the course of the last couple of years, that we need to build to satisfy the needs at a minimum 3,000 units a year. All right, of affordable housing.
Wow.
We're only building 1,000 at best.
Wow.
And we're building 1,000 units at best, and probably only 800. Of those units could be deemed affordable, maybe even less, maybe a few more. So that means we have a deficit every year of 2,000 units. And we're looking in the next 10 years where we're going to need 30,000 units, all right, affordable housing. And unless we in the state take up the mantle and look for some more dollars from the state, Rhode Island Housing can't do this all by themselves.
Now, what can we do as property managers, as citizens? What can we do?
Well, you can write your senators, your representatives. Mm-hmm. You can write the governor. All right, you can write the lieutenant governor. Call. Don't send an email. My theory with the email is if I send whoever it is, I don't want to disparage anybody, but if I send my rep an email or I send the governor an email, and one of her associates gets it, one of her aides gets it, all I have to do is push a button and that's gone.
Yeah.
Send a letter. You have a record of it. So if they come back and say, you know, well, you never said anything, you never did anything, you never approached me, you know, I say, well, I got this letter right here. Here's the letter. Did you get the? Oh, by the way, oh, well, yeah, I remember reading that letter. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I'm just being a bit facetious.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, you know, if you want anything that's useful, you got to make your case. Step up and tell the people that are in charge what you need. I mean, from 1,000 to 3,000 units a year is a It's a huge discrepancy. Yep. And we are not performing. That $40 million is a drop in the bucket. The other thing the governor proposed was $1 million, where last year she proposed $3 million for affordable housing. We're going down. We're going the wrong way. And the same with the bond issue. We're going to $40 million, where two years ago, I believe, we floated a $50 million bond.
Wow.
All right? And so we're going in the wrong direction, where Massachusetts floated a housing bond for $1 billion, understanding that Massachusetts is five times or better the size of us. So if we're going to do anything in the housing industry, not only to keep what we have, but to add to the housing stock, we're going to have to take a more proactive position.
Yeah.
And by the way, Rhode Island Housing doesn't get a dime from the state, all right? Doesn't get a dime. It's not in the budget. The budget comes for Rhode Island Housing from the feds and from bond issues, all right? And from mortgages from local lenders, Webster Bank, Citizens Bank, Bank America, whoever the banks might be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge disparity in what Rhode Island Housing gets from the state versus what other states get. So, I mean, it's something you have to look at, and it's been that way for years. I mean, the only time that the state ever gets involved with Rhode Island Housing is when they want to borrow some
money. When they want to take money.
They want to borrow some money.
Right, which happened.
Which has happened. You know,
which happened just recently, right? They took, what, $14 million or something from
them? Yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They took $14 million out of the coffers of, and then another 10.
And then another 10 after that.
It was $24 million,
wow.
Actually. So, you know, we're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
So we're going the wrong way,
in.
My friend. Put money in. We're not taking it. We're not getting anything out, you know.
All right. Let's take a quick break, Jack, okay?
Sure.
You're listening to iRoom Today, the Property Management Show, right here on AM 790. We'll be right back right after this. All right, 4:53 here on iRoom Today, the Property Management Show. We are live every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on AM 790, your station for Jack and Jason. What? No, no.
Jack and Jason.
No, Talking Business. That'll be the name of the show, Jack. Jack and Jason.
Talking Business. I like that.
Talk and Business.
Talk and Business.
And we do both. We talk and we talk about business.
And we talk about property management.
And we talk about property management.
And we talk about how the business affects property management.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And the legislature is very important of what we, very important to what we do.
That's right. Big time.
I mean, it one kind of like hand in glove, I think is what they say.
Yeah, that's right. So, that's why IRM has a legislative executive committee,
committee. That's right.
That's right. That's why they do that.
And I think that's very important. There's a number of issues that are
now, Jack,
always
affecting. We have about 2 minutes, by the way.
Oh, we have 2 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, two whole minutes.
Go for it.
Oh, wow.
Well, you were told that once.
I was told that once, yeah. Two whole minutes and get out. All right. No, there's a number of issues, obviously, that affect us in the legislature. Taxes are one.
Sure.
All right. Property taxes are significant in every community that we're in. All right. Some of the other things that affect us are the skills of the people that we deal with.
Yes.
All right. And some of the people in IRM have been very involved with the Rhode Island Home Builders, I for one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I think and we've been very involved in the apprenticeship programs, CTE, Career in Tech. All right. And I think that one of the things, too bad Representative Scacci couldn't be here, because one of the questions I was going to ask him was, how does he think the current legislation is being proposed in the State House relative to 16-year-old kids working outside and what they call a weekabout. You know, a weekabout is a program where you a kid in the apprenticeship program goes out and works in the field for a week, then comes back into the school and takes care of all the academics, reading, writing, arithmetic, CAD studies, and trigonometry, geometry, and everything else. That's called a weekabout program.
Learning a trade.
Learning a trade.
That's interesting.
And some of the unions have a problem with the kids going out and working in the field, all right, because they feel that takes away from some of their members, which is something that's, I think, very short-sighted, because a lot of the individuals that are out there today, the older people, I say older people, I'm one of those older people, all right, between 55 and 65 are ready to retire, and there's nobody really to replace them.
Right.
So I think they're shooting themselves in the foot when they start opposing some of this type of legislation, where letting your kids go out, start learning a trade, and whether or not they decide to continue with the CTE program on through high school all the way through, but they've got to get out in what I call, what not what I call, but we call the Weekaboat program.
You would think that the unions would want to have these kids trained so they could, you know, keep building the numbers as, down the road. But maybe that's just me.
It's always being very provincial, and until something is proven to work, i.e. Jason,
the road works.
Road
my.
Works program.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God. We always go back to something something on a negative basis. But, I mean, no, seriously, that the Weekaboat program, I think, is
that
very important.
That sounds terrific.
And letting the kids get out there and do what they do. I mean, we've gone through 2 years, finally got to this point, and we're pretty close to getting most, if not all, of what we've been proposing relative to career and tech.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right with that, and I hope hope they do pass something or get some kind of legislation going.
We do too.
Yeah, so I think that's a great idea. Now, Jack, I'll be golfing Tuesday, June 7th at the Pawtucket Country Club. It's the Irem Tractor 88 Charity Golf Tournament.
You golf?
Well, I golf once a year.
Once a year.
I'm going to win that long drive contest, Jack. I'm going to win it. I'm
Hole
telling
in one.
You.
You're giving away a car this time or no? It's just.
Oh, I don't know. We might.
With a little
we
bitty
might.
Car?
We might. I don't know.
A little bitty car? No.
All right. There's still time for you to register for our golf tournament. Give Karen a
foursome.
Call.
Need a,
get
need
your
a foursome?
Foursome in. That's right. 401-479-7734. Give Karen a call.
Or if you want to be a sponsor.
Jack, it's been great.
Absolutely.
Hey, Brett Fuccio, great job. All right. You've been listening to Irem Today. We'll talk to you next time. This episode of Irem Today is brought to you by Secure Future Tech Solutions, your local IT partner providing information technology solutions. To consult with an IT expert today, call 401-921-2607 or visit them online at securefuturetech.com.